It is not very often that I have the opportunity to share on Friday evenings, and so I'm very excited tonight to be able to share with you. I mentioned a couple weeks ago that we, Tzar Shalom, just reached its third birthday, 3 years that we have been here in existence as a congregation. And that was a significant milestone. As I look out at you folks out there, there's maybe a handful that have been here for the majority of that time. And in that last 3 years, we've seen a lot of people come and go, and it's been a really special time for us. But what I thought would be a good idea is I wanted to take this time, since you folks haven't been here for the last 3 years, to talk a little bit about what Tzar Shalom is. What Tzar Shalom is about, how we fit into the messianic spectrum, what we believe, what we're about, and what we hope to accomplish, why we believe God has us here. So I'm going to spend a few minutes talking about that, and then if there's time, we'll have time for questions and answers or whatnot. Forgive me if my voice goes out. I seem to have lost it somewhere in the midst of the worship service. First of all, I'd like to actually just share a brief story with you, and one that's very personal to me in my own walk with the Lord. I grew up in a Reformed Jewish home, and when I was 18, my father shared with me that he had come to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And that day that he shared that with me, in fact, within a few moments, God spoke very clearly to me and told me that Jesus was in fact the Messiah. And I decided therefore and over a process over the next month to commit my life to the Lord. I went away to college, and I'd never met a Christian before. so I was very excited when I got to college and got involved with the Christian Fellowship. And for the first 2 years, I actually became a leader of the Christian Fellowship. And I didn't really think very much about my Jewish background. I was focusing on dealing with getting sin out of my life, growing in my knowledge of the Bible, and all those things. And my background really didn't play a big part in my daily life, in my walk with the Lord. I just wanted to get to know Him and get to know the Bible. And then I was going to go to this conference in Illinois called Urbana. And a few nights before I left, as I was praying, God was saying to me that I didn't really know Yeshua, that I didn't know Jesus, which made no sense to me given that I'd been a leader in the Christian Fellowship and a believer for a few years at that point. And I went to this Urbana Missions Conference very puzzled at what God was saying to me, or was the devil trying to turn me away from my walk with the Lord. And to make a long story short, while I was there, it turns out that one of the key focuses of the missions conference was Jewish missions. And this was the first time that had ever happened at the Urbana Missions Conference. They have 17,000 people, probably a handful are Jewish. and Jews for Jesus was there. And Liberated Wailing Wall, the music group for Jews for Jesus, sang in the evening. And I got there early because I was so excited, because God was just confronting me with my Jewish background, and that I could know Jesus unless I got that Jewish part of me, got to know who He was. And I know this may sound confusing to you, but that night with the Liberated Wailing Wall there, I just started to cry. And I went back to my room and I started reading the Bible, and I realized that this Messiah that I'd been hearing about my whole life had come, that Jesus, this who I had believed in for 2 years, was, I had never tied it to that hope that I'd been taught about my entire life, that Messiah that was coming, was actually the Jesus that I knew. And it was like being born again. It was like the Messiah came. Oh my goodness, I have His words. They're written down, they're in red, I can see them. It was very exciting for me. And it was at that point that I hooked up with Jews for Jesus and started to really explore what it meant to be a Jewish believer in Jesus. And I remember meeting with a man named Steve Katz, who worked for Jews for Jesus, and I asked him, I said, what does this look like? I mean, I know what it is to be in a church and be a Christian, I know what it is to be a Jew who doesn't believe in Jesus, but I don't know what it is to be a Jew who believes in Jesus. And he said, well, I hate to tell you this, Mike, but it looks different for just about every person, and you have to figure that out for yourself, exactly what that looks like. So I say all of that as background to what is a messianic congregation? What is it when Jews believe in Jesus? Do they all have to be in a messianic congregation? Should they be in churches? What are we doing here, essentially, at Sar Shalom? One thing I want to say, I'm not sure all of you are familiar with what Sar Shalom means. Sar Shalom is Hebrew for Prince of Peace, and that comes from Isaiah 9:6, where it says, in a messianic prophecy, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Sherry and I and Robert and Dana and two folks who are no longer here founded Sar Shalom 3 years ago. And in coming up with a name, we wanted to make sure that we never lost the focus on Yeshua. He is what we're about. We are a Jewish congregation of people that believe in Yeshua. The believing in Yeshua is always the number one thing that Sar Shalom is about. And so we said, well, let's name it after the Prince of Peace. And so that's why we named this congregation Sar Shalom. Just as background, we met in my house for 6 months, which was fun. And I don't know if Sherry enjoyed it as much as other folks did. We were rolling up the carpet every week and putting away the kids' toys and everything else. And then we, in I believe it was May or June, or somewhere in the summer of 2002, we found this building, thankfully. And not that long after, in September, Jews for Jesus opened up a branch in Boston. And I've been friends with Garrett Smith, who is the head of Jews for Jesus in Boston since 1994. And so when he came to Boston, the folks from Jews for Jesus came with them and became a part of our congregation. And so it's nice to have Nikki here. And Garrett now is one of our elders. So as background, the elders of Sar Shalom are myself, Robert, and Garrett. And so we have an informal partnership with Jews for Jesus. We are technically unaffiliated with anybody, but we have a partnership with Jews for Jesus in that. And just so that you're clear, Jews for Jesus is an organization of Jewish people who believe in Jesus. And the purpose of that organization is to share the gospel with Jewish people and with anybody else that'll listen. Is that a fair characterization? And Messianic Judaism, or being a Messianic Jew, just means that you're a Jew who believes in Jesus. It doesn't mean you're a member of Jews for Jesus, which is a separate organization. But we as a congregation support the ministry of Jews for Jesus and are very pleased that they are a part of our congregation. Very pleased. So just wanted to clarify that. What I'd like to do, I actually have a few handouts here. So I'll pass these out to you. I don't know if I have enough for everybody, so if we can, one for every two people or something like that. What I'm handing out is our core values and mission statement. And I figure that's a good way to talk about what are our core values, what are we about. In the last 3 years, I just wanted to mention a few of the things that we've accomplished as a congregation. One, we've hosted the High Holy Days with Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, having 150 or more people here on each night and day for the last 3 years. It's been a tremendous turnout. We've had Hanukkah and Purim and Sukkot celebrations, again, where we have, you know, large groups of people that have come back and said they've been very blessed by being here. We've had Bar Mitzvah of Joseph. We've had baptisms of Jason and Joseph. What's that? We had a naming ceremony for my son Noah, that's right. And we had a bris for Zach. Stan Telchin, a very well-known author in Jewish Messianic circles, came here to speak. Michael Brown, we sponsored Michael Brown, a Messianic scholar, who did a debate in the Boston area. We were able to do some significant advertising for The Passion. We used, when Mel Gibson's movie came out, we used that as an opportunity to share the gospel all the way from Marblehead down through Newton all the way out to Sudbury, all over the Boston area. And we've had a number of ads to share the gospel with people. So for such a small congregation and such a short period of time, what's that? And we were on the front cover of the Metro West. That's right, that was, you were. That was for Purim. Passover. I knew it was one of the P's. But what a tremendous amount that God has done with this small group. Yes? That's right, the Hanukkah parties. That's right. And so many people have come back and said, thank you so much for being here. And I want to remind us of that, because sometimes when you look around and you see, you know, 20 or so people, and you say, what can God do with only 20 people? There are churches and congregations with hundreds of people. Well, look what Jesus did with his 12 disciples, or 12 apostles. Changed the world. Look what God's done with this little group. And it's because of your faithfulness, and more than that, God's faithfulness. We are here because we believe that God has called us. So, what has God called us to? If you would take a look at the handout I gave you, and actually look on the back, I want to read our mission statement to you. It says, as a Messianic congregation, Sar Shalom exists to foster and encourage an ongoing living relationship with God through Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. We will practice and celebrate Jewish life with a goal of lifting the name of Messiah, Yeshua, above all other names. We will reach out to the surrounding community such that lives will be touched by God's love and many will come to salvation through belief in Yeshua. And I want to break this up a little bit and talk to our core values as it relates to this. One of the things that happens in a number of Messianic congregations, at least in what I've seen throughout the country, are that you can get very focused on things that are not related to growing into a mature believer, an effective believer for the Lord. You can get wrapped up in ceremonies and practices, arguments about things, and a lot of Messianic congregations do, in my experience. And so when we created Sar Shalom, as a bunch of Jews who love the Lord, the primary focus was that we grow into maturity. One of the things that often happens is churches, they will focus on coming out with mature believers, and Messianic places focus on, you know, did we wear our tzitzit the right way? And we didn't want to do that. So that's our primary focus. But if you go on to the second sentence, it says, we will practice and we will celebrate Jewish life. And that we do. We talked about the Hanukkah parties, the Purim celebrations, the Passover, the High Holy Days, Shabbat. Every week, it's like a holiday every week. We celebrate Jewish life, but we celebrate Jewish life with a goal of lifting the name of Messiah Yeshua above all other names. We never forget the goal. There are two aspects, I think, that are key as a Jewish believer in Jesus. And I know not all of us are Jewish, so forgive me if I'm kind of focusing on that. And that's one other aspect you'll see in our core values, that whether you're Jewish or not Jewish has no impact on your importance in this congregation or how welcome we want you to be. There are two things when we say we're a Jewish believer or a Messianic Jew. One aspect of that is, what does it mean to be a believer? What does it mean to be a follower of Yeshua? I want to read a scripture to you. If you have a Bible, if you would turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and I'm going to read verses 22 through 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 through 25. And I'm reading from the NIV version. It says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, or mitzvot in our Jewish parlance. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This talks about a lot of things. It talks about what it means to be a community of faith, what it means to be a believer. Talks about how we need to draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, knowing that God has cleansed us. We have been redeemed. That is a significant fact. We have been drawn near to God. As we sang, into your arms, we can come near to God because he has cleansed us from sin. That is a life-changing fact. That changes how we live. It says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. God is faithful. We talked about his faithfulness as we see in the things that Sar Shalom has accomplished. We see God working here, not only in what Sar Shalom has accomplished, but in the lives of the people we've prayed for over the last several years. God has done so much. God is faithful. And so as a community of faith, we see him doing his work, and we are encouraged because he is real. And so that's a key aspect of a believer, is to see what God is doing. We pray, open the eyes of our heart, Lord, so that we may see you and see what you're doing. In verse 24, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. We need to encourage one another towards doing what is right. And I think Garrett's done a very nice job, and the other teachers that we've had, in conveying and teaching how do we live as believers? How do we stand out and do what's right in a world that doesn't always do what's right? And I can cite so many examples of people that don't follow the Lord. And I'm humbled even tonight because I know that I don't follow God as I want to, or as I know that God wants me to. But I know that God is faithful and will accomplish his will in me, and he will do that in you. And he is. We see that every day. But we need to spur one another on. We need to encourage one another. And that's a key aspect as a Jewish believer. As a believer, that is a key aspect of our life in the Lord. Is spurring one another on towards love, good deeds, and let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, as it says in verse 25, but let's encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Life as a believer is not a lone thing. Being a believer is being part of a community, being part of a faith community where we pray for one another, where we stand with one another, where we give each other a hug when we're struggling, where we try and come up with answers on how we can share with those we love. We struggle together to serve the Lord. That's what it means to be a believer in a community of faith. So that's half of the Jewish believer. The other half is the Jewish part. I just said that we celebrate Jewish life with the goal of lifting up the name of Messiah. For me, being Jewish is so special. I was sharing with a woman at work who's Jewish about my faith, and she said, I've never seen such passion. You're so excited. I've never thought about these things before. I mean, I'm Jewish, I was bat mitzvah, she said, I've done all these things, but I never thought about what was so special about being a Jew. So what is a Jew? It's interesting, if you go to a Barnes & Noble, or you go to a Jewish bookstore, and you look in the Jewish section, what are most of the books about? What is a Jew? Nobody knows. Everybody's wondering, what does it mean to be a Jew? If you look, it doesn't talk about the great things of Jewish thought or this and that. It says, what is a Jew? The Jewish Book of Why. So let's see what the New Testament talks about in that regard. If you would turn to Romans 2, verse 28 through chapter 3, verse 2. Romans 2, 28, and we'll read through chapter 3, verse 2. It says in verse 28, a man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. What advantage, then, is there in being a Jew, or what value is there in circumcision? Much in every way. First of all, they have been entrusted with the very words of God. There is tremendous value in being a Jew, and there is a significant reason why we need to retain our Jewish heritage as Jewish believers. First of all, we're the people of Israel. The very fact that we exist is a testimony to God's power and His faithfulness. How many people groups from that point in time, from where Israel, from the people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, how many people are around? None. Us. That's it. We've been tried, everybody in the world's tried to stomp us out, but they can't. Is it because we're smarter? Is it because we have greater skills? Is it because we work better together? How many think it's because Jews work better together and cooperate with one another? If you do, you're probably not Jewish. No, we are here because God is real. God's promises are true. They just are. They're not true because we want them to be. They just are. Here we are, guys. God's real. So the fact that we exist is a testimony to who God is. The fact that believers in Messiah, Jewish believers, exist is a testament to God's faithfulness to our people for eternity. So we can't just meld into the rest of the world and the rest of the world of believers. We're no better than any other believers. We're definitely not any better, nor are we any different in God's eyes. But the fact that we exist is a testimony to our brothers and sisters that, hey guys, Yeshua is the Jewish Messiah. We're a bunch of Jews and we love him. You know, it's funny, this woman at work that I mentioned I've been sharing with, I said, yeah, it was so hard to find a place to meet. You know, when finding this building, let me tell you, was not an easy thing. And I had the incentive because we were meeting in my house every week to find a building. And she says, well, why didn't you just go and meet at the Jewish Community Center? And I said, well, you know, they don't tend to be as excited about us as, you know, some other folks might be. Because she sees me as a Jew who loves Jesus. That's who I am. I'm not acting like a Jew because I want to act like a Jew. I just, here I am, guys. And I'll tell you something, if my name was Smith, they'd still know I'm Jewish. Garrett used to call me an OJ, obviously Jewish. It's a different kind of OJ. I take that as a compliment. Let's read one scripture here about us Jews who believe in Jesus, who remain as Jews. Romans chapter 11. This is a familiar passage to many of us, but I do want to talk about it. Talks about the remnant of Israel. Romans chapter 11, I'm going to read from verses 1 through 6. I ask then, did God reject his people? And he's talking about those Jews that don't yet believe in the Messiah. By no means. I am an Israelite myself, this is Paul speaking, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. Don't you know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah? How he appealed to God against Israel. Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me. And what was God's answer to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer by works. For if it were, grace would no longer be grace. My brothers and sisters, we have been chosen by grace. Sometimes when you may feel like you're the only one, and why are we here? What are we doing? God chose you. God chose me. God put us here. This is the season of Purim. As we read in the book of Esther, when Mordecai said to Esther, God has put you here for such a time as this. God has a plan for us at Sar Shalom. He has a plan for us individually and us as a group of Jews who believe in Jesus and people who aren't Jewish, who love the Jewish people or just love the environment. God has a plan for all of us together. And he's going to fulfill that plan, and we're not alone. We're part of God's purpose, and so we need to remain resolute. We need to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. We need to encourage one another daily. We need to be steadfast and consistent in our faith. Just to take a brief look at our core values, I want to read through them because they really speak to who we are. I also have our core beliefs, which I printed off from our website. I have a few copies of those up here, but I'm not going to go into those right now. Our core values. Number one, provide a community of worship which encourages an ongoing personal relationship with God through the life-changing impact of Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. We need to be changed. If we don't leave here differently than we came in, then we have failed. And it's each one of our jobs to change one another or to be used by God in that purpose. We're a community. It's not the elders. It's not the music. It's not that. This is the body, and we're here for each other. And that's an awesome thing. I know I appreciate it. Two, create a community where people's lives will be positively changed through a commitment to teaching of Scripture and its practical application, encouragement, prayer, worship, and outreach. Each one of those is a vital aspect of being a believer. Worship, prayer. I love hearing stories about those of you that take the time to pray with one another. Prayer is vital, and we need to encourage that, and that's what we try and do at Sar Shalom. Also, the teaching of Scripture. We need to be in the Scriptures. We need to be learning God's Word and be challenged by it and challenge one another with it. Number three, exist as a congregation, Jewish in style, nature, and association. While we live as part of the greater Jewish community, our primary community of faith is amongst believers in Messiah Yeshua, whether Jewish or not. We need to feel very comfortable being in church because these are the people we're going to be with forever. This is what eternity is going to look like. Now, granted, everybody's going to learn how to speak Hebrew for heaven. But, that was a joke. But, the reality is we're all part of the community of faith. And as Jewish believers, we need to not separate ourselves from the rest of the body, even if we are distinct as Jews. Number four, practice and celebrate Jewish life. For example, the holidays, Shabbat, Bar Bat Mitzvah, reflecting God's ongoing covenant with Israel. We're a Jewish congregation. Some of us come from different types of Jewish backgrounds. Some want more liturgy, some want less. We exist to practice, we celebrate Jewish life, all the different aspects of it. So if there are things that we are not celebrating, not bringing up that are important to you, tell us and let's, you know, as a community, celebrate Jewish life together. We do not want to lose our Jewish heritage because it is not just a cultural heritage as if we were Greek or something else. We're part of the people of God. The people of Moses, and God has a plan for us as a people, so that's important to retain that. I'll go through the rest of these somewhat quickly here. Deliberately support the state of Israel and the greater Jewish community, as well as believers in Yeshua throughout the world, and we do that as a ministry. The money that you folks give, a portion of that goes to certain ministries in Israel, Messianic ministry there, to the work of Jews for Jesus, and to other and to local Messianic congregations we help support. So we have tried to be faithful with the resources that God has given us to achieve this value. Six, provide programs for children and youth, which develop their understanding of our beliefs and core values, as well as the growth of their own personal relationships with God. We want the kids, the youth, to grow in a relationship with God. That is a challenge because of our size. I wish we could do more. I struggle with that often. But as any of you, if you have any thing that you would like to share or that you would like to offer to fulfill some of these values, please do. This is not, we want you to be active in this. Yes, Carl. Absolutely. I mean, it was the name of one of the sons of Jacob. And it was the land in Israel. There was Judah and there was Israel, and that's where the name in part from is. Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. That's very true. I'll go through these rather quickly. 7, create a welcome environment for all people with no division between Jew and Gentile in the life of the congregation. 8, as a living community of faith, we seek to meet one another's needs, coming together to care for one another in times of joy and sadness. Yeshua said that, I think it was Yeshua, I'm drawing a blank, that you can't just pray for somebody. You got to meet one another's needs. We have to be tangibly working in one another's lives. 9, reach out to the surrounding community, proclaiming the atoning work of Messiah Yeshua and ministering to the physical needs of the community. We do that in part through the ministry of Jews for Jesus. There are a number of opportunities to share your faith. We hope to give you the tools as we share different things that we do, so that when you're at work, you can share with those people around you or whatever environment you're in. But also in a more formal way, oftentimes Jews for Jesus will have opportunities to serve. And so that would be something, if you're at all interested, to touch base with either Garrett when he comes back or with Nikki or whatnot. And lastly, but not least, 10, uphold Scripture as our primary basis of teaching and doctrine. Sometimes people get wrapped up in the Talmud. Sometimes people get wrapped up in certain commentaries. Those are all nice. And valuable. It's always good to get background on things, but we test and approve what is right by the Scripture. And that's why it's vital as believers that that's what we've found our faith on. Now, one other thing I just want to share with you, and this is a resource that I find to be very, my wife's laughing at me because I get so excited about this, but this book, this author, his name is Alfred Edersheim. He was a Jewish believer in the 1800s, a scholar who much of what today is the scholarship of Messianic Judaism came from him. What most people know about the temple, what he tried to do, he has a number of books. Greg's borrowing one. I've tried to build a little bit of a library for the congregation that I can share with you from time to time that gives the Jewish background. When Yeshua said something, oftentimes we don't know exactly what he meant with it the way that the people who heard it at the time did, because there were sayings, just like we have sayings today, that he would quote, or things that he would turn a saying and turn it a different way. A quote, he would quote Hillel, one of the great Jewish rabbis, and turn it a little bit for a specific point. And what Alfred Edersheim does is he puts us there into that place, into the life and times of Yeshua. I mention that because I'm just proud that a Jewish believer of 100-some-odd years ago was that significant and did those things. And I think it's vital for us as Jewish believers today. I'd love to have someone 100 years from now. We may not all write books, but we can make a significant difference in this world. In any case, I just wanted to last but not least, just mention that I am very proud to be part of this congregation with you folks, and I'm very encouraged to be here with you. I truly appreciate you. I look forward to the next 3 years, the next 30 years, or God knows what, with Sar Shalom or whatever God is going to do, but I appreciate your faithfulness. And I know that the people that God has brought here, that God is doing something special, and God will use the gifts that He's given each one of you. And so my desire is that you would take an active role in the congregation. And we may not be the best at offering the different opportunities for service, but they all exist. And so if there's something that God lays on your heart, please feel free to share it with one of the elders. And please pray for Sar Shalom, because we believe that God is going to do something very special here. And God is and has been doing that, as we've seen. So, all right, let's pray. Abba, Father, Lord, I thank you so much for your faithfulness. I thank you for your love. I pray, Lord, that you would use tonight as an encouragement to each one of us about your work in our life. And, Lord, that you would push us, that you would make us strain to grow in our relationship with you, that you would challenge us, that we would not seek after milk, but seek after meat, that we would be mature believers in you. And so, Lord, change us, challenge us. We invite you into our lives to make us godly men and women. Thank you for your scripture. Thank you for this place that you've given us to celebrate Shabbat and to be a community of faith. We praise you in the name of Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah and Redeemer. Amen.